Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us find in these words your word, that river of living water for your children who thirst. Amen. Please be seated. My friend Bill Price helps churches raise capital funds. That is, when they come to a place in their life where they want to build a building, they need to go beyond their regular giving, and many people go to Bill and ask him for help. So Bill is in the business of helping people understand what it means to give sacrificially. Why? Because he's helping churches ask people to give beyond their normal giving, whatever that is, whether it's a tithe or whatever the Lord puts upon their hearts. He's asking them to give beyond that normal giving, to give sacrificially. And so he has to have great ways of explaining what it means to be sacrificial, what a sacrifice looks like. And one of the best examples he uses in my mind is this. That to be sacrificial is to give up something you love for something that you love more. To give up something that you love for something that you love more. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because to be a sacrifice, it has to come out of something that you actually want to possess. You know, many people can give out of their wealth and never miss it at all. They don't want it or need it, and they just simply give and it goes away and they do not notice. They really haven't sacrificed. They've given, but they haven't necessarily sacrificed. And of course, it is to give up something that you want for something that you have and love that you love more. So you're choosing to prioritize among the things that you have and to give something else. And Bill goes on to give a great explanation of what that would look like. It's when a woman comes of age, she becomes engaged, and her father's excited about giving her away. The family plans a big wedding, and the father pays for this great wedding and this great reception. It's almost always sacrificial giving, because a father has to give up things that he wants and appreciates and loves in order to honor and bless someone he loves more, his daughter. If you think about it, let's say Judson and Jordan, let's say their firstborn is a daughter. When she comes of age 20 years from now, 22 years from now, wants to get married, Judson's going to be going, how am I going to pay for this? What am I going to give up in order to make this happen? And he's going to be thinking to himself, okay, I'll give up that long-desired vacation in the Virgin Islands. Or he may go, that's not going to be enough. I may have to give up that wood-paneled library. I always wanted to remodel that one room in my house and have this wood-paneled library. I'm going to give that up too. Wait, I'm not talking about Judson. I'm talking about me. Those are the things that I would give up for my daughters at the time that they get married. To give up something that I want and appreciate and perhaps love for something I love more, my girls, for Mary Elizabeth, for Madison. That's what sacrifice is. And that's the kind of God that we're hearing about in the Scriptures. About a God who loves us so much so that he would give up his son for a higher purpose in order to make us at one with him. That's what God wants. That's the kind of God that we are honoring here today, that we are being asked to follow, a God who loves us enough to meet us where we are and loves us too much to leave us there. That's what we're hearing about in the Scriptures. Now, it's hard for us to understand this kind of love. Why? Because regardless of how well we've been loved in life, and some of us haven't been well loved at all, it's a love that we scarcely know. It's not a love that humans easily produce. And both Jesus and Paul in our lessons today allude to that, don't they? Because Jesus talks about how a father would give his son the things that he asked for. But then he goes on to say, but you're evil. You're evil and you give these kinds of good gifts. You see how it accentuates what Jesus is doing and what he's talking about when he says, how much more does the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So good gives the Holy Spirit, evil gives gifts. They're worlds apart, even though both are giving. And Paul talks about it in Colossians. We heard him talk about the difference in shadow and substance. Shadow and substance. And there's a big difference between the two. Here's a shadow. Watch me grab it. Can't. Why? Because the shadow has no substance. It has no form. It can't be held. And Paul talks about how the things that we use to engage in worship are mere shadows of the things that are to come. When the substance is in Christ, that's where real love comes from. That's where real transformation comes from. That's where real life comes from. And so in both passages, we get this sense of there's a pale imitation of life, and then there's life itself. The real thing. And we have that in Christ. Evil, good. Shadow, substance. Pale imitation of life. Life as God wants us to have it. The God that we worship, the God who is filled warm with faith, such that he wants to be baptized and stand before the body of Christ and profess his faith, is a God who loves us in that way. With this love unknown, this love that we can scarcely know because it's not something we can easily practice. We're being informed and shaped into it, yes, but it's not something that flows from us naturally. It's something that's not within us that God has to place there and restore to its original likeness. But God loves us enough to do that. He loves us enough to meet us where we are, but loves us too much to leave us there. Now think about Juan's story, because it's mirrored by a story in Acts, isn't it? There was this man, an Ethiopian. He happened to be reading his scriptures, but he didn't understand well who God was. And then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, someone showed up to lead him into the scriptures. His name was Philip. We read about this in Acts 8, don't we? And Philip joined this man in his chariot, and he helped this Ethiopian understand the scriptures and how they spoke of God's good news that's given to us in Jesus Christ. And the Ethiopian got it. He received the gift that had been prepared for him. The Holy Spirit led him to that place. So when the two of them came upon some water as they went down the road, he said, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he was. But that's not the end of the story. Because he was baptized, he professed faith in Jesus Christ, but we don't want to remain there. We want more of what God has to offer us. He offers us salvation in Christ Jesus, but it's by that, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we profess Jesus as Lord. But it's by the power of the same Holy Spirit that he takes us the rest of the way. That is, he sanctifies us. He transforms us into the likeness of Jesus, the Son, with ever-increasing glory. Now, who wants that? I do. That's what he wants for me. That's what he wants for Juan. That's what he wants for all of us, is to engage in this process of sanctification. He loves us enough to meet us where we are. He saves us by the power of his Holy Spirit and loves us to profess Jesus as Lord. He loves us too much to leave us there. He wants to sanctify us into the likeness of his Son Jesus. And then he wants to give us other things as well, doesn't he? There's gifts and there's fruit to be had. Perhaps in our former life, in that life that was a pale imitation of life that God has in store for us, we didn't know any joy. Well, what is one of the things that the Spirit sows in us, brings about in us, produces in us, raises up in us? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who doesn't want more of those things? Now, some of you are thinking, well, I had plenty of joy in my pale imitation of life. I guess I can have it now. But did any of you struggle with kindness? Self-control? Some fruit. God wants to bring about more of it in you by the power of the same Holy Spirit. And he wants us to stand upon the promises, the ones that we hear in Hebrews, where we're told that we won't be forsaken, we'll never be left alone. The promises that he talks about in Romans 8, that we can never be separated from the love of God in Christ. The promises of Romans 5, where we're told that we may suffer, but it leads to perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope, and that hope won't disappoint. Who doesn't want more of that? How do we get there? It's the Holy Spirit that gets us there. The God who saves us, loves us too much to leave us where we are. He wants us to appropriate all of those things, this rich and abundant life that he has in store for us. And he gives it by one means, the Holy Spirit. And he gives it through one question when we ask. That's what we heard in the scriptures today. If fathers who are pale imitations of what life could be give their children good gifts, how much more does God the Father, who loves us enough to meet us where we are, but loves us too much to leave us there, how much more will he give us the Holy Spirit if we ask? The blessing is upon the table. It's there for the asking. We can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us may be going, wait, John. I said Jesus is Lord. I have the Holy Spirit. And of course, you do. You can't say Jesus is Lord, save by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we always need more of the Holy Spirit, as we've talked about often here, even in the Blue Church. We need more of the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody said, the great evangelist said, I need more of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I leak. D.L. Moody says he leaks. And so we need to be filled continually with the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, where Paul says, be filled. He means always. He means every day, every hour, every moment. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's possible. We can have it simply by asking, because the Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. And I want that Holy Spirit. And I want it for all of you. And you should want it as well, and I'm sure you do. Now, what is it like? We've got several images available to us. This morning we talked about it at Jesus Our Shepherd, a basketball. Many of us have a basketball in a garage, on a shelf. If we pull that basketball out right now and throw it on the ground, start to dribble, it won't go anywhere. It's been sitting there long enough to lack the air that it needs to do what it's called to do. You have to fill it up again in order for it to have bounce. We have to be filled. That's what D.L. Moody meant. We leak and we have to be filled again and again. One of my favorite images is that of a gas furnace. And, of course, we're in the middle of the summer now, and no one's likely to turn on their gas furnace anytime soon. But what happens when you do, when that first chill gets in the air in December or January, and you turn on the heat, you turn on the thermostat, what's going to happen to that gas furnace? What are you going to hear? Whoosh! What is that sound? It's in the furnace. Thank you, Dad. You're engaged. Come on. Set the example. When that furnace ignites, it's the pilot light making all the burners lit. So powerful is what the pilot light does that it sucks the oxygen out of the room. You see, we have the pilot light, and sometimes that's all we have because we've leaked. We don't have the thermostat turned up. And the Holy Spirit wants to be poured out upon us such that he can do his work. And we can have it. It's at our fingertips. The blessing is upon the table. It's there for the asking. The scriptures say so. How much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let that be our prayer today. To be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let that be our prayer for Juan, who's beginning this wonderful journey of his life in Christ and has come by this power of the same Holy Spirit to say Jesus is Lord, that he will receive all the blessings, that he'll be sanctified in the likeness of Jesus, that he'll know love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that he'll stand upon those promises with vigor, even when challenges come. And let's pray it. And wait with expectation for it to happen, because the Scriptures promise this to be true. The Father will give us the Holy Spirit when we ask. Amen.